Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So sometimes when we have our three readings, it can be a challenge to figure out how they're connected. That is not the case today. It's very simple and straightforward. So let's get right into the Abraham, and then we'll see how it connects. So Abraham, it says, after all these things. What are all these things? Well, this is about 40 years or so, 30 or 40 years of Abraham not exactly being the most faithful servant of God. Abraham gets a little caught up in his own ideas. One time they were in Egypt, and he told his wife to say that she was his sister because he was afraid of the Pharaoh, and that created all sorts of hassles when Pharaoh took her. And then, you know, finally got worked out, and Abraham learned, okay, maybe God is trustworthy. And then, of course, we have the whole issue with Hagar and Ishmael, and that was both Sarah and Abraham saying, you know, I know God said that we would have a child, us, and that he would be the father of all nations. However, it's been 20 years. Nothing's happened. Maybe we need to take matters into our own hands. And so they did. And that has created all sorts of chaos from generations to come. And so we see a history of Abraham not quite trusting God. And God spending 20, 30 or so more years training and teaching and guiding Abraham that he might trust him. And finally, it seems like Abraham has got it figured out. Finally, he has grown in his faith. He understands the faithfulness of God, so much so that he is willing to do something that every parent reads about and goes, this is crazy. Think about God calling you as a parent to sacrifice your child. That just rubs against the grain of every parent. It's one of the hardest passages of Scripture to read. And yet, it's very important for us to understand, partially because Abraham and Isaac really do connect us to God and Jesus. And we should see those parallels as we read this passage. So first off, Abraham and Isaac are going to do the sacrifice. And then it says on verse 4, on the third day. That should clue us in that something's going on here that is going to connect us to Jesus Christ. And if you're thinking that, you would be right. So on the third day, the father puts the wood on the back of his son to carry up a mountain that he might be sacrificed. Does that sound vaguely familiar? Like something happening in the New Testament where the Son of God puts the beam of the wooden cross upon his shoulders and climbs up the mountain, Mount Calvary, to be sacrificed? Yes. This is indeed a parallel that we should be looking at. God is preparing us all the way back in Abraham to understand and to see what he is going to do and what he did do in Calvary when Jesus Christ comes. So Isaac, being the logical young man that he is, looks around and he says, okay, Dad, excuse me, I see wood. It's on my back. You've got the fire. You've also got the knife. What I don't see is a lamb. Where is the lamb, and what are we going to sacrifice? You know, and you can imagine Isaac getting a little nervous here, like, what's going on? I don't get this. And Abraham turns to his son in absolute faith, and he says, God will provide for himself the lamb for burnt offering, my son. No lamb is there, and yet Abraham says very clearly, God will provide the lamb. So they go up. No lamb yet, so Abraham ties Isaac up, sticks him on the altar, has the knife raised up. We all know the story. Abraham, stop. Okay. But notice who says this. It says, the angel of the Lord called from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And Abraham responds, here I am. And he doesn't have to sacrifice his son because God has shown that Abraham does fear him and trust him with his only son. Now, it's interesting. We start out by saying, but the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven. That's verse 11. But then later on, in verse 12, the same angel of the Lord says, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Wait a second, I thought it was the angel of the Lord that was speaking, and yet here he's saying you haven't withheld your son from me. Who's talking here? Who's the angel of the Lord? First off, what is an angel? Generically, the word angel means messenger. And so anybody that brings a message of God could be considered an angel. So ultimately, who is the primary, the source of any message from the Father? It's the Son. It's the Son who is speaking. The Son of God is speaking to Abraham right here, which leads us then to clarify what's going on when Jesus is speaking later on to the Jewish community. And he said, if you knew who I was, you would rejoice because your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. What is Jesus referring to? He's referring to this very moment. Because Abraham was about to sacrifice his son, and God intervened and gave him a vision of something else. Because it was more than just that moment in time that Abraham is speaking. See, notice Abraham said, God will provide a lamb for himself. And yet, what does Abraham sacrifice on the altar? It's not a lamb. It's a ram with full-formed horns stuck in the thicket. See, whether Abraham understood this or not, he was speaking prophetically. He was speaking prophetically about Jesus Christ, that God himself would provide a lamb for himself. And Abraham saw this and rejoiced in it because he understood, as hard as it was for him to contemplate sacrificing his son. That is how much it is difficult for the father to contemplate sacrificing his son. The sorrow and the pain and the heartache of losing a son, of sacrificing a son, this is not just God saying, oh, yeah, you know what, Jesus, go die on the cross and come back and everything will be cool. No, this is heart-wrenching for the father to send his son to die. He feels the pain just like Abraham does. He feels it just like we do. And yet, why did he send his son? Because his love for us is so great that it was worth it. You and I are worth the sacrifice of his son. The pain that comes from that is worth the price to bring you and me into his family. And this is why Jesus says, if you knew what we were about, you don't understand God. He's all about grace. He's all about love. He's all about forgiveness. Abraham saw this. He saw a vision of Christ when God provided the ram rather than the lamb. And Jesus is the one who spoke to Abraham on that day. The Son of God spoke to Abraham, you have not withheld your son from me, and my father will not hold me, his son, from you. So Jesus knows what he's talking about when he says, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. Because he was there. Of course, that blows the Jews' minds. Were you really? You're only 50 years old. You're less than 50 years old. How in the world can you say you saw Abraham? And then comes the mighty word, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And that is the full force of the word of the name of God. This is the same word that is used by God with Moses at the burning bush. When Moses asked, who is sending me to Pharaoh? Who do I tell the Israelites that sent me? And God says, I am who I am. That's his name. And Jesus is making that claim right here. I am. He's the one who spoke to Abraham, who saved Isaac from the sacrifice. He is the same I am who saves you and me from our sins and the death that is required of us. Because of his death, we are redeemed from our transgressions. We have been saved from our sins. So let us rejoice that our Heavenly Father loved us enough to feel the pain of sending his Son to die so that he might bring us into the family. May that grace and that mercy and that peace be and abide with you always, now and forevermore, unto life everlasting. Amen.